All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going to kind of do things a little differently.
Yeah, different kind of deep dive.
Yeah, we are diving into some ancient documents, and you know, a lot of times we get to do these deep dives on on books.
Right.
But today we're going to be looking at some excerpts from a lecture given by Dr. Gary Metters, and he's talking about this New Testament book, 1 Corinthians. Specifically, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6.
So if you're interested in early Christianity, this is the deep dive for you. You know, think about this as us giving you a guided tour through these verses, these very specific verses. But as we often find with these ancient texts, the issues that they were grappling with back then still have a surprising amount of relevance for us even today.
Absolutely. And, you know, you sent this our way, and you're probably wondering, how did those early Christians, you know, deal with conflict? What was their approach to the legal systems of their time?
And maybe even just what their daily lives were like. Like, what kind of disputes were they having with each other?
Exactly. And so, you know, our mission in this deep dive is to really kind of like pull out the key takeaways, the insights. What can we learn from these writings today?
Exactly.
Now, right off the bat, there's something that really jumps out at us, at least it did to me.
Yeah, me too.
In these passages, Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians, seems to be pretty critical of Christians taking each other to court, you know?
Yeah.
But then if you think back to his letter to the Romans, he seems very much in support of government and authority.
Mm. Yeah. How can we make sense of that? Like, why this difference? It seems contradictory.
Yeah, it's almost like he's saying one thing here and one thing there.
Right.
So that's what we need to figure out. That's one of the main things we need to figure out. Like, what is going on here? So to really kind of get into this, we need to understand, you know, the broader context of 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. Dr. Metters points out that these two chapters really function as a unit. They both address issues that Paul learned about from those oral reports. You know, those, you remember those?
Yeah, those oral reports. It's like, you know, word on the street was getting back to Paul.
Exactly. Word on the street. Right. People were talking.
Yeah, people were talking. Gossiping.
Well, maybe not gossiping, but giving him updates on what was happening in Corinth, you know, the Corinthian church.
Right, right.
So chapter 5, that deals with a really, really big issue. We're talking about incest within the Corinthian church.
Yeah, a very serious matter. And then we move into chapter 6, and the focus shifts to this idea of, well, Dr. Metters calls it unrighteous litigation. Mm-hmm. Basically, Christians taking each other to court, suing each other.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. So, I mean, is there a connection? Is there a connection between these two? Like, is the lawsuit because of the incest?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Some scholars believe they're closely linked.
Okay. Okay.
They think that the lawsuits mentioned in chapter 6 were maybe a direct result of that incestuous situation, maybe some kind of legal fallout.
Okay, makes sense.
But there's another view, a scholar named Bruce Winter, he's got a different take.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, he suggests that the court issue in chapter 6 isn't necessarily tied specifically to that one incest case.
Yeah.
He thinks it might be more of a general problem, you know. Civil disputes arising within the community.
So basically they were just suing each other over, you know, everyday stuff.
It seems so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Metters seems to lean more towards this view.
Okay, that makes sense.
He doesn't explicitly link chapter 5 as the specific context for the court issue in chapter 6.
Okay. So we might not know, like, you know, every single detail of the lawsuits, but we know for sure that the core issue, the big problem here, was that Christians were taking each other to court.
Yeah, and that's where the apparent contradiction with Romans comes in. Like,
yeah.
Why is Paul so against it here in Corinthians?
Yeah, that's a great question. Why such a different stance? I mean, we need to figure out why.
I think Dr. Metters gives us a really good explanation. He points out it probably comes down to the type of court Paul is talking about in each letter.
Oh, the type of court. Okay.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Remember, in Roman Corinth, there was a distinction between civil and criminal courts.
Right, right.
And it seems like in 1 Corinthians, Paul is mainly concerned with civil courts.
Okay, civil courts. So what were those all about?
They were more localized, yeah. Kind of dealt with everyday disputes, you know, things like property disagreements,
mm-hmm.
breaches of contract, even like, you know, if your ox gored someone else's ox, that yeah. kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Sounds pretty mundane.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But the lecture emphasizes that these local civil courts were very susceptible to corruption and influence. Like, people with money and power could easily sway things in their favor.
Okay, so not exactly the most fair and impartial system.
Right.
All right, so then what about criminal courts?
Those were different. They were under Roman control.
Yeah, yeah.
And they handled the more serious offenses, the ones against the state itself.
Oh, the big stuff. Okay.
You know, like treason, embezzlement, murder, certain type of adultery.
Gotcha, so the heavy stuff.
Yeah, and that's where Romans 13 comes in. Remember that part where Paul says we should submit to governing authorities?
Yeah, yeah, respect the laws.
Right. Well, the lecture suggests that he's probably talking about the state's role in controlling those serious criminal violations.
Yeah.
You know, it's about maintaining social order, dealing with threats to the empire.
Oh, so he's not necessarily endorsing every single thing the government does, but he recognizes their authority in dealing with those big crimes that could disrupt society.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about maintaining order and making sure society can function.
Makes sense. Okay. So if we focus back on those Roman civil courts, those local ones that were susceptible to corruption, I mean, how did they work? Like, what was the actual process like?
Well, lecture uses a pretty strong word to describe it.
Okay.
Vicious.
Vicious. Wow. Why vicious?
Because winning a case often involved attacking your opponent's character. It wasn't enough to just present your side of the story.
Oh, wow. So it was like a personal attack.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a form of what they call vexatious litigation. And this all ties back to the Roman culture's huge emphasis on honor and shame.
Right. Honor and shame.
Damaging someone's reputation was like, you know, a devastating blow. It had serious social consequences.
Wow. Okay, so it wasn't just about, you know, winning your case. It was about destroying the other person.
It could be. Yeah.
Wow. That is intense. So, it sounds like these civil courts were mostly used by the wealthy and powerful, right?
Yeah, pretty much. People of status.
Okay, so if you were just, you know, an average person, you didn't really have much chance.
It would have been very difficult. The lecture points out that someone without status would have had almost no power to initiate a lawsuit against someone of higher rank.
Wow. So basically the system was set up to protect the elite.
Yeah, it seems so.
Even if they were in the wrong.
It was about protecting their honor.
Wow. And, you know, the lecturer talks about the work of Bruce Winter, and he argues that corruption was it was rampant among judges and jurors.
Yeah, he really highlights that.
He cites, like, historical sources. He talks about papyrus records that show how tough it was to actually prosecute someone who had a history of winning cases.
Oh, because they had those favorable judges in their pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they knew how to play the system.
Right.
And there's even this account from Seneca. He mentions this guy, this high-status individual, basically taunting this lowest-status person, daring him to sue.
Yeah, because he knew it was pointless.
He knew he'd win because the system was rigged in his favor.
It's so frustrating. And even writers who count later, they also complained about the injustice in Corinthian courts.
Wow. So it's clear why Paul wouldn't want Christians to get mixed up in that mess.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It wasn't really about true justice. It was about power and influence.
Exactly. So, okay, now we get to Paul's rebuke. He really goes after the Corinthians for this.
Yeah, it's pretty strong language.
He asks them, why are you taking your disputes before the ungodly? Like, why are you doing this?
Instead of resolving things within your own community, you know, with the Lord's people.
Right. It's like, come on, guys, you're family. You're supposed to be taking care of each other.
Exactly. And it's interesting. Paul reminds them that one day believers will judge the world. Even angels.
Wow, that's a big responsibility.
It is. So surely they're capable of handling these, as he puts it, these trivial cases.
Trivial cases? I mean, doesn't that kind of sound like he's minimizing their problems?
Well, not really. The lecture explains that he's referring to the civil nature of these disputes.
Oh, okay. Like they're local, they're everyday issues, not like, you know, some big world-changing event.
Right. But that doesn't mean they're not important.
Of course not. But it's just interesting that he uses that word, trivial.
Yeah, I think he's making a point. Like, if you're going to be judges of angels, you can surely handle these everyday disagreements within your community.
That's true. Yeah.
And then there's that phrase, to shame you. That's a big deal in a culture obsessed with honor and shame.
Right. Yeah. This is all about saving face.
Exactly. So by going to these corrupt external courts, they're basically admitting that they can't handle their own affairs.
Which brings shame upon their community.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, we can't figure this out ourselves, so we need the ungodly to sort it out for us.
Oh, that's a good point. And then Paul really drives it home with that question.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Is it possible that there's nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? I mean, he's not holding back.
He's not. He's basically saying, come on, you guys, you have all this wisdom and knowledge from God. Surely you can find someone within your community who can handle this.
It's like he's disappointed.
Yeah, seems like it.
Like they're not living up to their potential.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the ungodly. What exactly does that mean?
The lecture gives us a couple of interpretations. One is pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It could simply refer to the non-believers, the people who are running the courts.
So, you know, basically saying don't air your dirty laundry in front of the pagans.
Right. Keep it within the family.
Makes sense, yeah.
But there's another interpretation, one that Dr. Metters seems to prefer.
Okay, what's that?
He thinks it's a judgment on the entire Roman judicial system.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about the individuals involved, it's about the whole system itself.
Right. Because the principles and standards of Roman law, they often clashed with Christian values.
So by going to these courts, Christians were kind of like, you know, participating in a system that was fundamentally opposed to what they believed in.
Exactly. And the lecture uses a really interesting example here.
What's that?
Lot, as a judge in Sodom.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's this picture of him trying to, you know, uphold some kind of righteousness within this incredibly corrupt environment.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you can't really be pure in an impure system.
Right. It highlights the difficulties and compromises involved in trying to find justice within a system that's inherently unjust.
Okay, that's a really good point. So let's not forget, we're talking about civil disputes here, not criminal matters.
Yeah, good distinction.
So these were, you know, those everyday conflicts, like the lecture mentioned, personal disagreements, power struggles, stuff like that.
Yeah, the kind of stuff that just comes up when you're living in a community. And the fact that they were suing each other over this stuff, it suggests it was a pretty widespread problem.
Right, like they hadn't really figured out how to resolve conflicts in a Christian way.
Exactly, they were still learning how to apply their new faith to their daily lives.
Okay, now let's get into 1 Corinthians 6.4. This is a really interesting verse.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of attention.
And the lecture points out that there's actually some complexity in how it's translated.
Yeah, it's tricky. The Greek grammar is a bit ambiguous.
Okay, so what's the issue?
Well, the verb in the sentence can be understood in a couple of ways. It could be a statement or a question or even a command.
Oh, wow. So the meaning can really change depending on how you interpret it.
Right. So some translations present it as a question. Mm-hmm. You know, they're basically highlighting how illogical it is for Christians to seek judgment from those who have no standing in the church.
Oh, okay. So it's like they're saying, why are you going to these outsiders? They don't understand your values.
Right. Like, do you really think they can judge you fairly?
That's a good question, yeah.
But then other translations, they interpret it as a command, almost a sarcastic one.
Oh, wow. Sarcastic Paul.
Yeah. And they translate it as something like, appoint as judges, even men of little account in the church.
Men of little account. What does that mean?
The lecture explains that it refers to social status, like those who don't have much power or influence in the community.
Oh, so not necessarily their moral character.
No, it's about their social standing.
Gotcha. Okay, so with that sarcastic command, what is Paul trying to say?
I think it really shows his frustration with the Corinthians' obsession with status and seeking validation from these external courts.
Oh, exactly.
He's basically saying, look, if you're so obsessed with status, why don't you just let the least powerful among you judge these disputes? It'll probably be more just than what you're getting from those corrupt courts.
It's like he's turning their values upside down.
Yeah, exactly. He's challenging their whole way of thinking.
Okay, so now let's bring it all home. How does this apply to us today?
That's the big question, right? And the lecture emphasizes a very important point. 1 Corinthians 6 should not be taken as a blanket prohibition against all litigation for all Christians.
Okay, so it's not like thou shalt not sue.
Right. We have to be careful not to oversimplify it. The context is crucial.
So, you know, those corrupt, status-driven Roman civil courts, that's the specific situation Paul is addressing.
Yeah, we can't just apply it directly to our modern legal systems.
Right. I mean, they're not perfect, but they do operate on different principles.
At least in theory.
Yeah, in theory. But, you know, the rule of law, that's a big deal.
Right. We're supposed to have a system where everyone is equal before the law.
Ideally, yeah. And the lecture also points out that sometimes, in our modern world, people don't even have a choice about whether to pursue legal action.
Yeah, think about insurance companies. they often make those decisions.
Right. So it's not always a simple individual choice.
Exactly. But there's still a key principle here that remains relevant. Christians should try to resolve their disagreements within their community.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we still see this issue today, even within religious groups.
Like denominations going to court over property.
Exactly. Sadly, it happens.
It's like they've forgotten what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And the lecture also mentions the complexities of doing business with other Christians.
They can be tricky, yeah.
Because you have these expectations, these higher standards of accountability.
Right. It's not just a purely transactional relationship.
So, yeah, I mean, the lecture is basically saying that whether or not to pursue legal action, that's a decision that needs to be made on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Prayerfully and thoughtfully, with a clear understanding of the context.
And taking into account, you know, all the factors involved.
Absolutely.
Now, beyond the whole legal stuff, there's another point the lecture makes about these lawsuits. Paul sees them as a symptom of something deeper.
Yeah, it's not just about the legal issue itself. It's about the state of their hearts.
Right. He says it's a sign that they've been completely defeated.
Completely defeated.
Yeah, because they're not willing to be wronged.
Oh, interesting. Like they're so focused on their own rights and their own winning that they've lost sight of something bigger.
Exactly. And instead of, you know, showing love and forgiveness, they're actually cheating and wronging each other.
Within their own community.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys, you're supposed to be better than this.
You're supposed to be setting an example.
Right. So basically, Paul's saying you're failing to live out your new identity in Christ.
Yeah, that's powerful. He's calling them back to their core values.
So to wrap up our deep dive, you know, Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 6, they were strong.
Definitely.
But they weren't a condemnation of all courts everywhere.
No, no, no.
They were specifically aimed at a particular situation. You know, the corrupt, status-obsessed Roman civil courts.
Right. It was about Christians resorting to this flawed system to settle disputes among themselves.
Exactly. And he urges them to, you know, to look inward, to try to resolve these issues within their own community.
Yeah. And he emphasizes the shame they're bringing upon themselves by going to a system that contradicts their values.
He's like, he's saying, you're going to be judges of angels one day. You can handle this.
Right. So as we leave this deep dive, think about this. How does any community, no matter when or where, address its internal conflicts? What are the challenges involved?
And what principles should guide those resolutions? You know, we can learn a lot from the Corinthians, both their mistakes and Paul's wisdom.
Absolutely. And this all leads to a bigger question, something to ponder.
Okay, hit me with it.
Given how complex legal systems are, given human nature, is it even possible to create a truly just system?
Wow. That's a tough one. Whether it's a small community or a whole society, is perfect justice even achievable?
And if not, how does that affect how we approach conflict and seek resolution? These are important questions to consider.
It really makes you think about justice, about community, about living out your values in a messy world.
It does. And that's what makes these ancient texts so fascinating. They still speak to us today.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See you then.